Good morning, everyone. We've been talking about and asking people to pray for revival. And I said the next couple of Sundays I wanted to talk about some topics that can either bring revival or be a great hindrance to it. And this morning I want to talk about, is anyone thirsty? Very familiar text. It's out of John chapter 7. Verses 37 through 39. Don't think you're going to get out of here early just because there's two verses, but y'all ought to know me better than that. It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Father, I thank you for your word. I know that it's truth. I thank you for those who could come out this morning to hear your word. Father, I just ask that you would take this text deep into every one of our hearts. Let this be a time of self-examination for us as we look at this statement that you made, Lord. Again, I thank you for your word. I ask that I would decrease and that you would increase in this message. I just ask a blessing, a special blessing on everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Jesus was attending the Feast of Booths. It's also called the Feast of Ingathering. It was held in the seventh month, from the 15th to the 22nd. The Israelites would dwell in tents for 8 days. So there were tents pitched all over Jerusalem, and it was to commemorate when their ancestors wandered in the desert for 40 years and lived in tents. It was also a time they celebrated their harvest. It was a time of great celebration. People bring the first fruits of their crops in, making offerings unto God. And the people would go out and cut willow branches, myrtle branches, and they would tie them together, and palm branches. Almost left one out. They would tie them together with gold or silver cords or ribbons, and for 7 days they carried them with them everywhere they went. They took them into the synagogue when they went in there. To pray. They took them into the temple when they went to pray. And every day they would go into the temple and they would walk around the altar where the sacrifices were made. And they would sing Hosanna. And I know everybody here probably knows what that means, but Hosanna, Hashiana, means Lord save, we beg you. So it was a focus on salvation, God's salvation. It was a time of thanksgiving because they were thanking him for when the crops came in. And for 7 days, they would walk around the altar carrying their tree branches, and they would sing the psalms. I read from Psalms 112 to 116, 117. Every day they would sing the psalms. So it was a time of great celebration. And on the seventh day, they would circle the altar seven times. This was called the Hosanna Rabbah, the Great Hosanna. Now the eighth day, that's where we're at here in the text today, that was the climax of the feast. And one of the priests would get water from the Pool of Siloam at the temple. You remember the Pool of Siloam was where the Bible records that an angel would stir the water once in a while. And anyone that got into the pool was healed. The first person that got in, Jesus did some healings at the Pool of Siloam. And the priest would take a gold vessel and fill it with water from the pool, and he would bring it to the altar. At the time of the morning sacrifice, he would mix the water with wine. And as he poured the water and the wine out on the sacrifice, the congregation would sing Isaiah chapter 12. Now, it wasn't in chapter in those days, But that's the section of Isaiah they would sing, and especially the verse that says, with joy we will draw from the well of salvation. So if you can imagine this, it's a time of great celebration. It's a time that they were celebrating God's promise to them that he was going to save them from their enemies and save them from sin. So if you can imagine all this going on, and while the people sang, the priest would blow the trumpets. Very joyous occasion. And as they were singing, with joy we shall draw from the well of salvation, it is believed that this is the time when the Lord stood up and cried out, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. Now that was quite a statement for this rabbi to make. This was not the first time that God ever made this offer to his people. We find in Isaiah 55, God said through the prophet, come everyone who thirst, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. God the Word stood at this feast and gave them the same offer. Now you remember, they're praying about salvation, they're thanking God for their harvest, they're also praying for the outpouring of His Spirit. When the Scriptures talk about water, oil, wine, milk, very often it's in reference to the Spirit of God. Now we find in the prophet Jeremiah that God refers to Himself as the living water. When He said to the prophet, my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now this still goes on today in many churches, many individuals. They want to seek God, but they want to do it their way. And in this prophecy through Isaiah, some of you are maybe old enough to remember cisterns. I remember them as a boy, not that people were using them, but I remember when there were still a lot of them around, especially on the farms. And they were concrete containers that caught the rainwater. And they would use that water for bathing and washing hair and sometimes for drinking. And God rebuked Israel. He said, you have rejected me. I'm the fountain of living water. This refers to like an artesian well. If you've ever seen one, they just keep bubbling and keep coming up. And it's cold and it's clean and it's clear water. And God said, I'm your fountain of living water, but you've rejected me. And you've cut out cisterns that won't even hold water. In other words, God says, you're trying to get to me or trying to worship me in ways I never want to be worshipped. And it caused them to go into idol worship. So God rebuked them for that. And now the Lord Jesus Christ is standing here at this high point of the feast, and he yells out, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink, and I will give you living water that will flow from your heart. I cannot imagine the irritation that some people probably felt when he said that, because they knew the Scriptures, and they knew that Jesus was saying, I'm the well of salvation that you need to draw from. You know, there's no other way to get to God except through Jesus Christ. A lot of people, as I said, we have a lot of cults, Christian cults in this country today. Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, that's two of them that I can name. Moonies, the list goes on and on and on of people that think that they are Christians, they believe that they worship God, but they reject Jesus Christ. And by rejecting, I'm not saying they flat out say he's not real, but they say salvation comes through other means than through Jesus Christ. The Bible says there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. The Bible says if we do not honor the Son, we don't have the Father. I told some Jehovah's Witnesses that once they came to my house and I invited them in and we were talking. They were sharing their pseudo-gospel, I call it, with me, how to be saved. And I had to join their church and be baptized into their church. And I said, you know, you've been talking for 30 minutes and you never once mentioned Jesus Christ. Well, we believe in Jesus. I said, you evidently don't believe he's very important, because you've talked to me about being baptized into your church and joining your congregation, and that way I'll become a Christian. And I said, that's a lie. And I said, you are false prophets. Now, that didn't go over real good with them, but they did stay, and we talked. And I told him, Jesus Christ is the only way you can get to God. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not Charles Taze Russell. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He said that himself. God testified in the last days, he said to Israel, I will raise up a prophet from among you like Moses. And he will speak only what I tell him to speak. And if anyone doesn't listen to him, I will personally require it of them. Now, people, you can't get any more commission than that. God promised to send his son, God the Word, in the flesh, as the prophet, the Messiah. And God said, he's only going to say to you what I tell him to say. And if you don't listen to him, I'm going to deal with it. So imagine he stands at this feast, this Jewish rabbi, and people hadn't quite made up their minds about him. Some thought he was the prophet that God spoke of, that Moses spoke of. Some thought he might be Elijah or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets raised from the dead. Very many of them just were not convinced exactly who he was. And he had the audacity to stand up and say, you want to be saved? You come to me. Now, God referred to himself as fountains of living water, but in John's text, he said Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit, that those who believed in him would receive, because the Spirit hadn't been given yet, because Jesus hadn't been glorified yet. Well, we know that Jesus was glorified when he went to the cross, when he shed his blood for our sins, when he died for us, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. And now he's seated at God's right hand at the place of honor, waiting for all of his enemies to be made his footstool. And if you remember, it said he appeared to the disciples for 40 days after he was resurrected, ate with them, talked with them, told them what he wanted, what he expected of them. But he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they were endued with power, which was the Holy Spirit. He said, John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, it depends what kind of background you come from. How you've been taught and how you've been raised is what picture that brings to your mind. Jesus promised that if we would come to him, we would receive the Holy Spirit. Now, I was told as a child in the Christian church that we get all the Holy Spirit, we're going to get at baptism. And you know what I found out when I started reading the Bible for myself? That's not scriptural. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. If that's true, why did Jesus tell people, God will give you the Spirit if you ask? Now, wait a minute. If I get all the Spirit when I'm baptized, I shouldn't have to ask for any more, should I? Paul said to the church at Ephesus, don't be drunk on wine wherein is excess, but be filled. And the Greek says, be being filled. Being filled, present tense, be being filled. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. I've said very often before, and I've talked to other ministers, and they've admitted this, we're really good in the church about wanting to bring people to Christ. We'll preach salvation. Maybe some of us in the church will witness to people, and people will come to Christ, but we don't disciple them. We'll baptize them into Christ and say, praise God, now you're a child of God, now you're a Christian. And often as not, sadly, the attitude is, now you're on your own. But something else I've come to realize, and this is in my own life also, very often when we come to Christ, We feel good about that, and we should, you know, when we're born again and we become Christians, but sometimes that's where we stop. That's what we settle for. Well, I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Praise God. I'm not like that bunch out there. But Did you catch what Jesus said to the crowd? Is anyone thirsty? That's the question you need to ask yourself today, Christian. Am I thirsty for God? You see, God intends so much more than just a salvation experience for His people. He wants a deeper life. I saw that on the sign out there, the Deeper Life Camp for the kids back in July. And it made me think, that's what God wants for us. He said in the New Covenant, we would know Him. And I've told you before, that word to know is a term of intimacy. God wants to be intimate with you and with me. The question is, do I want to be intimate with God? Do you want to be intimate with God? Or do you think that you have arrived at a place you don't need anymore? I'll be fine. That's a bad attitude, Christian. Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. Yeah. Are you thirsty? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Not blessed are the casual seekers. Not blessed are those who think they've already arrived. He calls them people that think they're righteous. He said, blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. What was He saying? If you hunger and thirst for God, you're blessed, because He said you will be filled. How much priority do we put in that, church? How much time do we spend seeking God? He promised us we would find Him if we would seek Him with all of our hearts. And He wasn't talking to sinners in that section of the chapter. He was talking to His people. Yeah. God wants a relationship with each and every person in this room, including myself. The question is, how much do you want it? Do you prefer the light of your television to the light of the Word? Would you rather sit down and read a worldly novel, a detective magazine, mystery, than to read the Word? Would you rather chat on Facebook than pray? See what I'm getting at? Now, am I saying we got to sell everything we have and go live in a cave and wear sackcloth and starve ourselves half to death and, you know, humble ourselves? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the offer that the Lord made here goes out to you and I also. He said, if you're thirsty, come to me. That's not a one-time invitation, church. That's a lifetime invitation. I think there's so many times in my own life that God has wanted to reveal things to me, and I wasn't seeking and I wasn't searching. And I think that grieves Him. There's so much more I want to tell you, but you're not ready. I think that's what He said to me many times. There's so much more I want to share with you, but you're not ready. You're not asking. Now, Jesus referred to the Holy Spirit as the living water. God referred to Himself as the living water. Jesus is the living water. Don't get confused. I've met people in my days that don't believe in the Trinity, and that's fine. I don't argue with them. That's called modalism. God's God the Father when He needs to be. He's God the Son when He needs to be. He's God the Holy Spirit when He needs to be. I have one question for these people. Why do you think it's so remarkable or impossible for God Almighty to be more than one person but yet be one God? Why do we think that is unfathomable? I've had people say, well, do you understand the Trinity? No. Do I believe in it? Yeah. With all my heart. Can I explain it? Nope. But why do you think it's impossible for God to be more than one person and yet be one God? All in essence and nature. Jesus said to the Jews, I and the Father are one. And they were going to throw rocks at Him for that, because it said He made Himself equal with God. And my understanding, some translations, that the literal Greek, He said, we're one and the same. Me and the Father are one and the same. He told Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I heard one Sunday school teacher was asking her class, children's class, who Jesus was, and one little girl said, Jesus put a face on God. I like that. I said, now that is a simple answer and a very profound answer that any theologian should have been proud to think of. Jesus put a face on God. So here we have God the Word standing before God's people. They're pouring this water out mixed with wine, representing the Holy Spirit. They're saying, God, save us. God, bring us the salvation out of the well of your salvation. And Jesus said, here I am. Come to me. And he said, that well will be an overflowing well out of your heart. The Word of God isn't stagnant, church. I've seen ponds, you know, they turn green, they turn over, they get stagnant this time of year. You ever seen a spring-fed pond? Just looks nice and clean. That's what they call living water in the Middle East. Spring-fed. The Holy Spirit never stagnates. God doesn't stagnate. I think in heaven, when you're there forever and ever and ever and ever, God still won't be able to reveal all of himself to you. In eternity. I don't think he will. Now that's my opinion. That's how massive he is. That's how deep he is. Now some would say, well, why is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit? And you say God called himself living water. The Apostle Paul dealt with this when he wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. Speaking of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You remember what Jesus said about the Spirit? He will take things that are mine and he'll show them to you. He's the Spirit of truth. He'll reveal the truth to you. Paul said he comprehends the very thoughts of God. He's our communication. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, I spent almost 3 years in a Pentecostal church, and I know what I was told in the Pentecostal churches meant, but you know what I found out? They were wrong. When you get hung up on the gifts of the Spirit and you start glorifying the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you grieve the Spirit of God. He didn't come here to glorify himself. He didn't come here to glorify those gifts. He came here to glorify Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, do I believe in the gifts? I sure do. Do I believe they're still extant? Yes. Extant means existing. Well, now, brother, the scriptures say when that which is perfect has come, then we won't need prophecy and tongues and all that. Well, are you telling me the perfect's come? I say it hasn't. When will the perfect come? When Jesus Christ splits the skies and comes down in the cloud with the holy angels and the trumpet call of God, then the perfect will come. And we won't need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here to glorify Jesus Christ, who came to glorify God the Father, who wants to share his very heart with you and with me, and he does it through the person of the Holy Spirit. He is nothing to be afraid of, church. There is no sin in you going to God and say, fill me with your Spirit, Father. But if you're not thirsty, if you don't hunger for God, why should he bother? Why should he waste that on someone that's not hungering and thirsting? We're praying about revival, I hope. And you know, I come to the conclusion that if we really don't see our need for it, it's not going to happen. We can throw a little polite prayer up and say, oh God, please send revival because the preacher said we need revival. And God's going to say, really? You know when he's going to listen to us? God, please revive me. I need to be revived. I'm not where I need to be. I've been a Christian 41 years, and I still feel I am not where I should be spiritually. And I have that proven to me every time I open my mouth and say something stupid, or every time I do something stupid, every time I trip and fall, I think, man, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. 41 years, and I think I'd know better than this. 41 years, I think I would know more than this. But I have found something with God. When I get serious with Him, when I repent, and I say, I want to know You, I find my Father goes, great, because I want to share myself with You. That's the question we need to ask ourselves today, as a church, as individuals, as a whole. Are we thirsty? Or do we feel like we're pretty good, we're pretty well off, we've arrived? You know, after all, we're part of the Christian church. We're the Church of Christ without a piano. You know, we got things pretty well figured out. Our doctrine's pretty sound. Yes, just ask us and we'll tell you. Sometimes we're so narrow we can see through a keyhole with both eyes. Yeah, I know how churches people read the Bible. Repent and be baptized, for all have sinned and fallen short of the assemblies of God. Amen. That's true. I witnessed to a guy for a couple years. I shared this Wednesday night. I worked with him. And he was asking questions. It's a lot easier for me to witness when somebody asks questions. He was raised Orthodox Russian, and he had a lot of questions. And I witnessed him for a couple years, and he finally came to Christ. And I was hoping he was going to start attending the church I attended. You know what he did? He went to a Presbyterian church. I said, good night. I'm not a Calvinist, but you went to a Calvinist church. But you know what? Praise the Lord, he came to Christ. And he got involved in a body of Christ. He died a couple years ago. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I am so glad that he came to Christ before he died. Doesn't matter to me if he's a Presbyterian, Methodist, Nazarene, because there won't be any such thing in heaven, church. We're not going to be segregated. They're not going to have the Church of Christ by themselves because they think they're the only ones there. All right? We all going to be before the throne. We all going to be waving them palm branches, dressed in white robes, praising God because we'll overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of Christ, Nazarene, Christian Church, Methodist. The name, the list goes on and on and on and on. Jesus didn't say, if you want to be a Methodist, come to me. He said, if you're thirsty for God, come to me. And I won't just give you just a little bit. I'll pour that spring into you until it bubbles out of you. I would like to think that he meant it would bubble up into those around us, that they would see Jesus Christ in us. We're the only Bible some people read, church. I've often heard it said, the world doesn't care what you know. They want to know if you care. The Apostle Paul talked about the significance and the importance of the Holy Spirit, and this was a church that got hung up on spiritual gifts. And Paul rebuked him for that. He said, no. He called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ and the very mind of Christ. He said he knows the deep things of God and he wants to share them with us. How thirsty are you? Do you hunger and thirst to know God? Is that a top priority in your life? I ask myself the same questions. Is that a top priority with me? Sometimes I'd have to be honest and say no. I mean, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I came to Christ for real in 1984, in February. But sometimes that takes a back seat to other things in my life. Sometimes other things seem more important to me. That's terrible. I've often said, you know, I'm not the man I was 41 years ago. And I hope to be a different man 20 years from now. But for me to do that, I have to keep hungering and thirsting after God. I can't be complacent. I can't say, I thank you for where you've brought me, and I think I've come as far as I need to go, God. You and me. I've arrived. That's a bad attitude, church. Well, I ain't doing what all these other people out here are doing on the street. Well, kudos to you. But it doesn't mean you don't have room to grow. One of my professors at Bible college, Paul, talked about being changed from glory to glory to the Christian. That's God's goal, to change us from glory to glory. He told me the Greek literally says from image to image to image. Whose image? His. I've had people say, well, you know, you can become so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. Phooey. But you can be so worldly minded, you're no heavenly good. I've seen that. I've experienced it in my own life. God wants to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. Not where we just look like him, where we act like him, where we talk like him, where we love like he does. There's so much he wants to share with his church. But the question is, do we see our need for that? We need revival in this church. And I'm speaking from right up here. I need revival. But unless I get real, unless I seek God, what did Jesus say? Keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. Then I'm not going to get it, and neither will you. We have to see our need. We have to understand that we have not arrived. That's a false pride, church. When we get to thinking we're a little better off than other people, that is a false pride. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ had to die for you just as much as he had to die for me. Because you are a sinner. I am a sinner. I was lost. I was undone. I was headed for hell. The wrath of God was on me, and he shed his blood for me so that I could be reconciled. But it doesn't end there. Jesus says, are you thirsty? I'll give you that living water. Do you want to know God? You know, Jesus said nobody knows the Father except him and knows to whom he chooses to reveal him. John the Baptist said that Jesus came from the very bosom of God, from the very heart of God. He knows the Father, and he offers to reveal the Father to us. But so many people try to find God in so many different ways, and you're looking in the dark. If you're not coming through Jesus Christ, you're in the dark. You won't find him. That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. Do we really hunger and thirst for God? If not, it's something we need to repent of. We need to go to God and confess that to him and say, you know, I've been letting you play second fiddle in my life. I haven't been seeking you like I should. I've been guilty of thinking I'm pretty well off. I'm a pretty good person. But I'm not. God wants us to know him. In the prophet Jeremiah, when God talked about the new covenant, he said, no longer will people say, know the Lord, because they'll all know me from the least to the greatest. And I can hear an excitement in God's voice when he's telling the prophet that. Wait, Jeremiah, there's a day coming, I'm going to pour my spirit out on people, and they're going to know me. Finally, that's what I want. I want them to know me. I know them, they're going to know me. How much do you want to know him? Now, I understand and realize there's things about God you and I can't know. And I think it's none of our business. And I think another reason is we can't handle it. But God wants us to know him. To be intimate with him. Do we want that? That's the question we got to ask ourselves. Do I want that? Or am I afraid of being branded as a religious zealot? One of them goofy Jesus people. You know, you can't get around him, man. No, you won't talk about Jesus. Peter said, we've been called to be peculiar. Let's be peculiar for Jesus. If we're going to be peculiar, let's be peculiar for Jesus. I'd rather be called a religious fanatic than not to have any relationship at all with God or be ashamed to speak about Him or about my Lord. Are you thirsty? This question's for me too. I'm not saying that I'm not thirsty anymore, because I thirst. I feel like David, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts after you, O God. That's the attitude we need to have. But I don't have that every day. There's some days I'm ashamed to say, well, I'm fine. I'm fine for now. Boy, that's not the attitude we need to have, church. We live in a wicked, deceitful world that Satan is the god of. And if we don't stay close to our God, we can be deceived as quick as anyone else can. Would you stand with me this morning? This is a beautiful offer of the Lord. As I read in the prophet Isaiah, God said it doesn't cost anything. You don't need any money. Come and drink freely. In the book of Revelation, he gives the same invitation. Whoever is thirsty, come to the water of life and drink freely. What an offer.